Gracious, eternal, loving Heavenly Father, we come again into Thy most holy presence in the Savior's precious and all-worthy name. We thank the Lord there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. We praise Thee, Lord, we come to Thee tonight in His name and the merit of His precious shed blood. O God, our prayer would be that we might be those channels of blessing. Blessings, Lord, to other people. O God, we pray that we might be a vessel unto honor. And Lord, that Thou canst use us every day and every hour. Lord, we pray that Thou would shape us and mold us into that vessel that You'd have us to be. We ask, O God, that Thou might bless us. And Lord, we might be a blessing to others that we come across. And Father, we pray that Thou wouldst teach us afresh this evening as we come to Thy precious Word. We desire, Lord, to be Spirit-filled. O God, give us a Spirit-filled prayer meeting. Pour out of Thy Spirit upon us tonight. Lord, to that end, we would pray that we would know the fresh cleansing in the Savior's blood. Lord, cleanse us from the things that have defiled today. O God, we pray there be a good hedge of blood around about us, even as we would seek Thy Word, and as we would seek Thy face in prayer. Bless every head that's bowed in Thy presence. Thank the Lord for bringing us here. Thank the Lord for putting in our hearts to be in the place where prayer is wont to be made. And O God, we pray that each one will be conscious that the Lord is here. Make it, Lord, easy to pray tonight. Bind the old devil. Lord, we recognize we have a great adversary against us. And Lord, how he hates to see God's people in the place of prayer. But Lord, we thank Thee tonight, he is a defeated foe. And we ask, Lord, that Thou would bind the strong man. And Thou would spoil his plans even for such a meeting as this. And Lord, that Thy word would run and be glorified. Remember us for good then, not forgetting those that are led aside. Those, Lord, that cannot meet with us even this evening through sickness or illness or infirmity of the body. And we pray, Lord, that Thou would draw near to such. And, O God, that Thy presence would also be their experience. So, Lord, do us good. Bless us tonight. Pour out Thy Spirit upon us. Lord, we're praying not just for our congregation here, but, Lord, for the denomination at large. That, O God, we would know Thee moving upon hearts in these days. Lord, Thou would set Thy people apray, Lord, that we might witness even great blessings to fall upon us in coming days. So, Lord, do answer prayer and abide with us, for we ask these things in our Savior's precious name. Amen. Exodus chapter 31, please. Exodus chapter 31. We're going to commence just from the words of verse 1. It is the occasion where Moses is found on the mount with the Lord. And of course the next chapter finds him coming down from that mount and seeing the idolatry in the camp. So you have a little background there to where we're placed in time and to the setting of this chapter. The Lord spake unto Moses, saying, See, I have called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah. I have filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom and in understanding and in knowledge and in all manner of workmanship, to devise cunning works, to work in gold and silver and in brass, and cutting of stones to set them, and in carving of timber to work in all manner of workmanship. And I, behold, I have given with him Aholiab, the son of Ahishmah, of the tribe of Dan. And in the hearts of all that are wise-hearted I have put wisdom, that they may make all that I have commanded thee, the tabernacle of the congregation, and the ark of the testimony, and the mercy seat that is thereupon, and all the furniture of the tabernacle, and the table, and his furniture, and the pure candlestick with all his furniture, and the altar of incense, and the altar of burnt offering with all his furniture, and the laver and his foot, and the clothes of service, and the holy garments for Aaron the priest, and the garments of his sons to minister in the priest's office, and the anointing oil, and sweet incense for the holy place, according to all that I have commanded thee, shall they do. Amen. And we'll end our reading there tonight at the end of verse 11. We know the Lord will add his own divine blessing upon the reading of his word. The only commission that the Savior gave to his church is go out into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That commission, of course, is still applicable as much today as when it was given in the first century. And in what manner they were to do this work was in the power of God's Spirit. The command of the Lord was for them to tarry in Jerusalem until they were endued with power from on high. Luke chapter 24. The promised Holy Spirit would be poured out upon them. And thereby, that is why when you come to Acts chapter 1, that we find the church gathered there in that upper room. And they're waiting for the following the ascension of the Lord. And they're waiting in prayer in one accord for the day of Pentecost to fully come, when the Spirit would be poured out. We read in Acts chapter 2 that when the day of Pentecost was fully come, that they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And you know, while the charismatic will counterfeit the speaking of tongues, isn't it ironic that the other signs on that day, they cannot counterfeit. They can't cause a false wind, and they can't cause a false fire. But yet they say that the speaking in tongues is a sign of a spiritual person. The apostles were filled with the Holy Spirit. It was essential that they were to for the work that was at their hand and the work that was before them. And brethren and sisters and young people tonight, if we're going to do anything for God, and if this church is going to have an effect in our area and further afield, then the power of the Holy Spirit is what is needed. And tonight I want you to understand that the Holy Spirit is not some feeling. He's not some item that is poured out like a liquid. But he is the third person of the Blessed Trinity, and as such he has all the attributes of the Father and of the Son. And that includes omnipresence. In other words, he is present everywhere. And the Holy Spirit is found in the Old Testament. And when we come to this passage that we have read this evening in Exodus chapter 31, we have an example of that. And we have an example of it as we're introduced to one man in particular in these opening verses that I just want us to consider for a short while this evening. I want you to see, first of all, then, the man. The man in question is one by the name of Bezalel. Moses was made aware of this man by the word of the Lord. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, see, I have called by name Bezalel. It was that time, as I've already said to you, that Moses was with God in the mount. The previous chapter, chapter 30, speaks of the instruction that was given to Moses for the tabernacle, for the brazen altar, for the laver, for the other pieces of the furniture. But now God speaks of this man for a very good reason. There was the need for one to make these things. They wouldn't just appear out of nowhere, but they had to be made, they had to be constructed. There was another who would have to do the work of the fabric and of the material for the curtains and so forth, and for the hangings that God had instructed Moses about in the tabernacle. That was somebody else's work. The need was for a skilled man to do the woodwork and the metalwork. And doesn't that remind us, child of God, that God has given his church various gifts? He has given His church various gifts and talents. There are diversity of gifts. If you turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we have there the analogy of the body. And the physical body has many different members. Verse 14, where the body is not one member, but many. And there it goes on after that to speak of the foot, or the ear, or the eye, and there's various members of the body. Verse 20, but now are they many members, yet but one body. They're all needful. Now you take that physical illustration and you convey it now over to the words of verse 27, where it is brought into the spiritual and the church. Now ye are the body of Christ. That's what the church is, by the way. It is God's people. It is God's redeemed. It's not the bricks and the mortar. This is the church building that we meet in, the meeting house. But the church is the body of God's people. And God says, now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. Now God has set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles and gifts of healings, health, governments, diversity of tongues. Are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, are all workers of miracles, have all the gifts of healing, do all speak with tongues, do all interpret. And so you see, what I'm bringing out in those verses is that God has given to His church a diversity of gifts and talents among its members. There are needs to be met, and what God has ordained for His church and what He means us to be and to do, He has given also those who have the gifts to fulfill His will. That ought to encourage you. Not only to know that each one of you have a talent, and I believe that from with all my heart. You might say, I have no talent, preacher. I give a talent. God give you a talent. But it also encourages us to know that what God would want us to do is that which we ought to seek after, but also to have the will to go through with it. There is no member that is less valuable than the other. No member Christ church that is less valuable than the next one. The need to be met in the making of the tabernacle was already in place. For God reveals He has His man in place. Moses have a man by the name of Bezalel. You'll take note of the man's name itself. The ending of the name will indicate to you, of course, that it incorporates the name of God. Or if you come across an Old Testament name, Hebrew name with E-L in the back of it, therein is the name of God. To bring the rest of the first part of the name together, the full meaning of it gives the sense of in the shadow of God. He was under the shadow. He was under the influence. He was under the protection of Almighty God. And he was called to be concerned in making those things which were shadows of good things to come. Powerful thought. Because the tabernacle is all about Christ. His name was significant as the rest of the names are. Here was no one that was known unto God and whom He had chosen to carry out this specific task in the tabernacle and for the making of those things. We're also given the additional piece of information with regard to what family he was numbered among. See, I have called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah. Bezalel was the grandson of Hur. Who's he? Well, he was one, of course, who along with Aaron was to hold aloft the hands of Moses while Joshua fought in the valley against Amalek. And you will also see that he was numbered among the tribe of Judah, that tribe that was greatly honored, that tribe that was greatly blessed of the Lord himself. When we bring in the name of his father, Uri, Uri has the meaning of light. And his grandfather, Hur, which gives the idea of liberty and freedom, then we have a lovely thought therein.
because we're drawn to consider the Savior whom David speaks about in Psalm 27 and verse 1, my light and my salvation. For Christ is the one only who is able to set men free, to give them liberty from the chains of sin and Satan that bind, and we are drawn to consider the blessed Lion of the tribe of Judah. Just through those few words of the opening of this chapter, you see, Christ is to be found in every page of the Scriptures. Can I ask, just before I go any further, I wonder, are you a man or a woman for a need? A need in this church. God has been speaking to you about it. God has already given you a talent for it. Because you have a good name tonight. You have a good name because you're numbered amongst the redeemed of the Lord. You're one of God's children. Then let me show you the task. From this introduction of Bezalel, we're driven to see the task at hand was particular. It wasn't Moses who set him apart, but we clearly see that it was the Lord that called him. See, I have called by name Bezalel. And the Lord called him to do something specific, a task that was only for this man. And that was making the pieces of the tabernacle, pieces of work that, as verse 4 indicates to us, would involve the gold, it would involve the silver and the brass. And there was a wee bit of stonemasonry thrown in as well in the next verse. And timber work. Maybe some would speak of those things in terms of the menial, in terms of the lowly. Oh, here is a man, and he wasn't the high priest. He wasn't the high priest who ministered before the people. He wasn't the high priest who brought the sacrifice before the Lord on the Day of Atonement. But nevertheless, here was a man that did a work that was just as needful as the high priest. Just as needful for the high priest to be able to do his work. Doesn't the hymn writer capture the truth that we're bringing out? There's a work for Jesus. Ready at your hand is a task the Master just for you has planned. There's a work for Jesus, humble though it be. It is the very service he would ask of thee. We often quote, and rightly so, Ephesians 2 verse 8 and 9, for by grace are we saved through faith. But you know, the next verse is also important. For we are his workmanship. God has saved us to do a work. That's why he didn't call you home the minute he saved you. You have a work today. I have a work today. But we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. So he called us in eternity past, and he also gave us the work that we are to do in eternity past. Whatever God would have you to perform, count it as a privilege. The task for this man was particular. But that which I really want you to home in on is to see the priority as far as Bezalel was concerned and the task that he had to carry out. You'll find that at the start of verse 3. And I have filled him with the Spirit of God, in wisdom and in understanding and in knowledge and all manner of workmanship. God had filled him with a spirit. Here's the first man in the Scriptures who is said to be spirit-filled. Now there are others, of course, that follow him. We can think of Samson right away, whom we read that the Spirit of the Lord was to come upon mightily. And Bezalel, to do this task for God concerning the tabernacle, had to be spirit-filled. And doesn't it remind us, and doesn't it prove again to us, that whom the Lord calls, he also equips? Bezalel could have said, who is sufficient for these things? But his sufficiency was of the Lord. He was a spirit-filled man. And more I trust we understand that the same priority might and must be true of God's servants in these days. We need to be Spirit-filled. The apostles were men who were filled with the Spirit as they preached. In Acts chapter 4, just to give you one example, it was that time where the prayer meeting was called and the threatenings of the authorities were brought to the people of God. And it says in verse 31 of chapter 4, when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. Wasn't that what they prayed for? Because if you run your eye up to verse 29, you get into the prayer meeting, you hear their praying, and now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word. God answers prayer. And they were all filled with the Spirit, and they were able to go out and to speak the word of God with boldness. The apostles were Spirit-filled. The very deacons were Spirit-filled. Stephen was one of them, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost. And of course the same exhortation is given to each one of God's people. Ephesians 5 and verse 18, and be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. I wonder, is this a priority in your life? It needs to be if we are to have a holy walk before an ungodly world. It needs to be when we put our hand to the work of the Lord. It needs to be when we come to pray. Because we are exhorted to pray in the Holy Ghost. And doesn't it bring us in a sense in a full circle to show us our need, and that need is for power. The early church needed the power of God upon their ministry. Power to witness of the resurrection of the Savior. Power to defend the doctrines of God's Word. Power to live before an unbelieving and an ungodly world. Men and women, instead of being inept and powerless as we lament today, Christ has meant His people to be endued with power. To be endued with power. Ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, unto the uttermost parts of the earth. And just consider from John 14 that the Holy Spirit has been given all because of the finished work on the cross. And the Holy Spirit is given as a result of Christ's intercession. Because John 14 and verse 16 says, and I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another Comforter, that He may abide with you forever. Those last two words might be an embarrassment to our brethren believers. Don't just think, has the Holy Spirit been taken out of this world? If He was, He would cease being God. Remember what I said right at the very start? He is omnipresent. Christ says, I'll give you another Comforter. Christ says, He will be with you forever. Don't forget it. His attributes are exactly the same as the Father and the Son. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth Him not, neither knoweth Him. But ye know Him, for He dwelleth in you, and shall be in you. If ye being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him? Dear child of God, it ought to be our priority every day that we have a Spirit-filled life, and we know that in filling of the Spirit afresh as we go out amongst an ungodly and an unbelieving world. Because we also have a great task, as Bezalel had. There's one final thought that I want to show you, and that is the type. For in Bezalel, I believe we have a type of the blessed Savior Himself. The Savior is to be found even in these verses concerning this man. You consider what he was.
You consider that as Bezalel was a master builder, so was Christ. For Christ has said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. He is the chief cornerstone. He is the stone that the builders rejected. It is Christ who cares for His church, and He has purchased His church with His own precious blood. It is Christ who is the oversight of His church, because He is the sole head and king of it. And when we look at 1 Peter 2 and verse 4, listen to this: to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. We see that He was chosen of God and precious. Christ was the chosen of the Father. He was called to be the Savior of a lost mankind, and the Savior in obedience was to leave the realms of glory behind. And He was to come down to this earth, and He was to take upon Himself the form of our nature, yet without sin, so that one day He might lay down His life as that once for all sacrifice for sin. He went to the cross that He might purchase His church with His own precious blood. I will build my church. He's the chief master builder. But also in Bezalel is a man who was head of the building work, and there were men under his control. You read of another one there in the words of verse 6. Now behold, I have given with him Aholiab, the son of Ahishmach. Two are better than one. And when Christ sent out His disciples, they were sent out two by two. But in verse 6, there's also the idea that there were others also who were under the control of Bezalel. Others whom God also had filled with His Spirit. Because it says, and I, behold, I have given with Him Aholiab, the son of Ahishmach, of the tribe of Dan, and in the hearts of all that are wise hearted I have put wisdom, that they may make all that I have commanded thee. So there were those others there who were under the control of this man. And in Christ we have one man and woman who is sovereign. We have one who is in control of all things. All things concerning His church. He is the chief shepherd. But then there are the under-shepherds. Under-shepherds whom He has called to look after the flock. The very stars in His hand, Revelation 1. While the under-shepherd and laborers, for we are laborers together with God, while they have a caring and a building work to accomplish, yet we are mindful of those words of Psalm 127 and 1. Except the Lord build a house, they labor in vain that build it. The Lord must build a house. And in Bezalel, as we have noted, was a Spirit-filled man of God. He was one who was hid. And he abided under the shadow of the protection of the Almighty. And that is the place that each one of God's people surely desire to be in and are found in. We read Psalm 91 and verse 1. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge, my fortress, my God. In Him will I trust. Our life is hid with Christ in God. That's how much protection you have and I have tonight. We're in the hand of Christ, and Christ is in God's hand. Life is hid with Christ in God. The one, of course, whom the Spirit was poured out without measure. I trust, even as we've looked and considered something of this man, Bezalel, the Lord might enable us to be more like Him in these days. For if we are, then we will be conformed more unto the image of our blessed Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. May the Lord bless those few thoughts to our hearts tonight, for His own name's sake.